Columbia presents its sports director, Red Barber. Visitor to the program today is Babe Ruth, who will discuss with the old redhead the art of playing the outfield. This is another in the series of discussions of the various positions in Red Barber's baseball clinic. But first, let's look at the sports headlines of August 12th in other years. 15 years ago, Max Carey was reappointed manager of the Brooklyn Dodgers for another year. 14 years ago, Wilbert Robinson, former Dodger manager, was chosen to succeed Charles Moore as manager of Atlanta in the Southern Association. 14 years ago, Raleigh Hemsley was sold to the Browns at the waiver price by the Cincinnati Reds. And 12 years ago, Charlie Bowser was named assistant football coach at the University of Pittsburgh. 10 years ago, Shirley Hanover won the Hamiltonian in straight heat with times of 2:01 1/5 and 2:01 3/5. And 9 years ago, Wes Farrell was released by the Washington Senators. But that was years ago. Here now is Red Barber.
Hello, everybody. Babe Ruth is here as our series of programs on how to play baseball continues. Connie Mack started us off last evening with a fine discussion of how to build a batting order. And the Babe is ready to take his glove and run out to the outfield. Everybody knows of Babe Ruth, the great hitter. But not everyone knows what a tremendously fine defensive player he was. Connie Mack last evening was talking about Babe's amazing consistency in playing the outfield. That he never threw to the wrong base. Babe Ruth is a very busy man these days. And it warms our hearts that he's recovered so much of his strength from his recent throat operations. Babe is consultant, as you know, to the Ford Motor Company in cooperation with the American Legion Junior Baseball Program. And he's all over the country. For example, he's honorary chairman of the New York Journal-American Sandlot game at the Polo Grounds tomorrow evening. And Babe Didrikson's the Harriers has come in from Denver for that game, and she's here in the studio listening to the other Babe. Well, so Babe Ruth, let's go to work on how to play the outfield. And first of all, how's the throat?
Well, I'll tell you, Red, it's not so good. A lot of people put me down as an outfielder, yes. I play the outfield, and as much as I can tell the young boys how to play the outfield, as knowing who the batter is in the first place, you must know if the batter's fast or not. Second, you must judge the speed of the runner going from first to second, or from second to third, or all around the bases. Then, if a man is on first base, especially a slow man, and you got a fast man up there hitting next, and he happens to hit a ball to right field, say, for instance, which I was playing, you can always catch that fella, not always, but if you watch that slow fella at second base, you know if you got a good arm, he will not go. And a lot of times that man is supposed to be fast who hit the ball to right field. If you got your head up, you can throw that ball to first base and catch him. I'd say 7 out of 10 times, which I have done.
In other words, a lot of times, Babe, when a batter gets a little overconfident or callous and takes that big turnaround first, the right fielder, if he can throw accurately and with strength, can pick him out off first base.
Yeah, if he's got his head up, he can pick that fella. I've seen Dixie Walker even do it over in Brooklyn. It's a great play, and it's a nice play to watch.
Yes, it certainly is. Well, let's see now. First of all, the outfielder has to study who the batter is, meaning where he can hit the ball, as well as his speed of foot. Then judge the running speed on the bases. And then what would you say is the next point?
Well, the fella's got to keep his head up to the extent. I would say, if a ball is hit to an outfielder, the first thing he's got to think of, who the, as I said before, who the runner is, where to play him, where he hits, left to right field, and so forth. Then, if the ball is hit over his head, never back up on a ball. Always run to a spot where you think the ball is coming down. Never back up. Then if you run back to the spot where you think the ball is coming down, you will be within 2 or 3 feet anyhow. And then if the ball is out of your reach, then you know it cannot be caught.
Well, Babe, how important is it for the outfielder to study the weather conditions?
Well, the weather conditions means an awful lot. You can always look up. Most ballparks always have flags up there. They're waving and waving and waving, different pennant flags. which shows you which way the wind's blowing. And you can play that player accordingly. And then you also got to watch the pitcher. The pitcher can help you out an awful lot. He can pitch according to the way you play. If he pitches on the outside and you're playing left field, the man hits the ball to right field is going to make the outfielder look very bad.
Mm-hmm.
But if he pitches according to the way he's supposed to pitch to make that man hit the left field, why, then you can see a perfect play.
Well, Babe, what point would you make to a kid about being certain that he doesn't get blinded by the sun?
Well, the sun field is a very funny thing. I would never want to play the sun field. Even when Miller Huggins was with the club, I told Miller, I said, I don't want to play the sun field. Because back in 1918, I played the sun field for Ed Barrow, who was manager of the ball club then, and I lost the ball in the sun. And I said, it's going to be the last one I'll lose in the sun. And I had some idea of how I lost it. And the way I lost the ball in the sun was to get the ball right in the middle of the sun, and that's impossible to see. You got to play that ball on the side of the sun or on the outside circle of the sun. Never try to get that ball in the circle of the sun.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, Babe, about the outfielder's throws to the infield and to home plate, how should they make them?
Well, an outfielder should always throw that ball on one hop. Never try to throw the ball on a bounce, on the fly. Because in the first place, the catcher who catches the ball on the fly, the man running into him can hit him an awful bang.
Mm-hmm.
But if a man has got that ball on the first hop or something like that, he's braced himself and he can be ready for that bump. And I mean by that, always throw the ball on the first hop for the protection of your own player.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, Babe, how should an outfielder hold his hands in catching a fly ball? What do you recommend?
Always catch the ball above your waist. That is, catch the ball in front of your face, because if you could drop the ball up there, you always have a chance to grab it again before it gets below your waist. But if you try to catch the ball below your waist and drop it, there's no chance in the world unless you can kick it up in the air and catch it again.
Mm-hmm. Well, Babe, how should a fella hold his fingers? In other words, I've heard you outfielders talk about soft hands. What's the meaning of soft hands for an outfielder?
Well, Red, the meaning of the soft hand catch is the meaning when a man catches a ball, the outfielder or anybody, even goes for the infielder, always give with the ball. And when you give with the ball, it helps you to put your arm back in throwing position. And when you do that, you're always in position to throw the ball.
And if a kid kept his fingers stiff, it's almost a cinch he's going to drop the ball.
Yes, and he's liable to break a finger, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, Babe, what about playing a ground ball in the outfield?
Well, a ground ball should always be blocked in the outfield. An outfielder can't play a ball like an infielder does. An infielder's got to play that ball with just that one particular second. Where an outfielder can block the ball, he can hit him in the chest, hit him in the knee, hit him anywhere. But still, he can recover that ball before the man advances a base.
Babe, I want to thank you very much for this tremendous effort with your throat that you've made after a very busy day to come over here and talk to all the kids listening in, and you've given them a tremendous listing of very valuable points on how to play the outfield. And this, friends, is just another demonstration of the real humanness and greatness of this guy, Babe Ruth. I think Babe would get out of a sick bed at midnight to help out anybody. Good luck to you, Babe.
Thank you very much, Ray.
And friends, our baseball clinic continues with Frank Frisch coming over tomorrow night to talk about second base. And now we'll have the rest of today's sports headlines in just a moment.
If you take the trouble to look, you'll find that there's one word that we use pretty loosely. It's the word America. But did you ever stop to think of what it really means? When the first settlers came here, for instance, they came to escape religious persecution. They were foreigners in every sense of the word. Since then, People have been coming here from all over the world. People of every race and religion that you can name, and then some. The steady flow of foreigners made this country as great as it is today. It was their contribution that went into making up the significance of the word American. Well, right now, there's something gnawing at the foundations of true Americanism. It's that kind of blind prejudice that divides us by setting one group against the other just because the members of one group happen to be foreign-born or Protestant or Catholic or Jewish or Negro. So, the next time you hear someone run down a neighbor's race, religion, or origin, tell him to stop that nonsense right away. And now, back to Red Barber.
Well, as I told you, Babe Ruth is very busy. He's got another busy night tomorrow at the Polo Grounds because the Babe is honorary chairman of the Journal American Hearst Sandlot baseball game in which 23 youngsters from 12 American cities will meet the best of New York's Sandlot players. Rabbit Moranville will manage the New York squad, and Ray Schalk will lead the United States All-Stars. And Babe Zaharias will be on hand with our golf clubs for an exhibition, and the Babe sort of has an idea when she gets to out there and sees the crowd and all, she might go into more than just golf. So it'll be quite a night. And it's a most helpful event for the young players of America. And, of course, you know an event like that coming along, there's a guy named Babe Ruth that's going to be involved. The British Ryder Cup golf team will come over here to play for the International Golf Trophy on November 1 and 2. It was announced today in London. The personnel of the teams and the site of the matches yet to be decided. All favorites advanced to the second round of the Women's Western Amateur Golf Tourney at Evanston, Illinois, but medalist Margaret Gunther had to go 20 holes for her victory. Top-seeded Dorothy Head was upset by Wilma Smith of the Essex County Invitational Tennis Tourney at Manchester, Massachusetts, 1-6, 6-4, 6-1. All the other favorites won. And now to get over to baseball, there was one game this afternoon played in the American League. Detroit at Cleveland is a twilight doubleheader, and St. Louis is at Chicago. The Boston Red Sox got two runs across the plate in the last half of the ninth inning and pulled that ball game out to beat Washington 2-1. For the Red Sox to move to within 11 games of first place New York, two runs, six hits and no errors. Gale House was relieved in the ninth inning by Harris, who got the win. For Washington, one run, nine hits and no errors. And Early Wynn, who's won 12, went all the way and suffered a tough 11th defeat. Now in the National League, the headline game, of course, was the game concerning the St. Louis Cardinals. A fellow named Johnny Smits, a slender left-hander for Chicago, is really pitching. In his last three ball games, he has turned in one shutout and allowed one run in each of the other two. That's three runs in his last, two runs in his last three games. He beat the St. Louis Cardinals today 2-1. That was a tough one. For Chicago, two runs, 10 hits and no errors. Smits all the way for his eighth win. For St. Louis, one run, seven hits and no errors. Hearn started and lost it. Brazel in the sixth and Paulette in the eighth. And the Cardinals now have lost their second game in their last 13. They are 3.5 games behind Brooklyn, and more important, they are 3 games behind in the game's lost side. Boston is playing at Brooklyn tonight, so that's the second half of the story yet to be written. Pittsburgh is very busy at Cincinnati. The Pirates have just scored a run in the 12th inning and lead 3-2 with the Reds at bat. Blackwell started, but he had to come out of there in the ninth inning. Peterson took over. Higbee, Rowe, and now Lyons for the Pirates. And Dutch Leonard turned in his 13th victory, and it was a honey, as he shut out the New York Giants with 6 hits. And the Phillies won the ball game with 5 runs and 10 hits, and won, and Leonard got his shutout despite 3 Philadelphia errors. Kennedy, Trinkle, and Beggs for New York, and Kennedy, who started, was the losing pitcher. And now this is the old redhead saying, so long.
You've been listening to Red Barber. Appearing as Red's guest tonight was Babe Ruth, who talked on the technique of playing the outfield. This was another in the series of instructive discussions on baseball, as told by the great players of the game. Tomorrow's guest will be Frankie Frisch, who will talk about the playing of second base, a position at which he starred for many seasons in the National League. Tomorrow's baseball schedule, American League, the Athletics at New York, and in night games it'll be the Tigers at St. Louis, the Indians at Chicago, and the Senators at Boston. In the National League, 3 games are scheduled, all-day games. The Braves will be at Boston, the Giants at Philadelphia, and the Cubs at Pittsburgh. Tennis news tomorrow comes from Newport, Rhode Island, and Manchester, Massachusetts. Tomorrow at this time, listen again to Red Barber. Joe Week speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.